All right, can we move on then? Now, let's go back to the order agenda, if we may. Let's go into parking. Item three, coach and goods vehicle parking on the harbour front. As you know, this is a regular item on our agenda. We're concerned at the number of short-term tenancies that occupy the waterfront. We want to see them reduced over time. We understand, we appreciate and understand there's it's part of a bigger problem, but from a harbourfront enjoyment perspective, I think we'll be told that I think there are 46 sites at the moment on the waterfront occupied by coach and commercial vehicle parking. So we have with us the Transport and Housing Bureau and the Transport Department, and they're going to brief us on the actions they're taking to, over time, if you like, to minimise the situation so far as the impact is concerned, and in due course, I believe, come up with a long-term policy. So if you will, who's going to debrief us, please? All right, off you go, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Our presentation essentially covers a progress date. To recap, the Bureau and Transport Department has briefed the Commission last year in March, and giving an overview of the parking situation in the harbourfront area, the issues, and also the shortfall, etc. And at that meeting, members of the Commission raised a couple of points, especially some members were concerned about the illegal parking of the coaches and the goods vehicles, and urge the Department and Bureau to consider measures to address the parking demand and to relieve the parking situation in the waterfront area. So the purpose of the presentation today is to report the progress for the last year. The presentation basically covers the four issues. The first one is about the parking situation as at early this year, and also the measures and the need for parking spaces for the coaches and the goods vehicles. And basically, the goods vehicles and coaches in our terminology is classified as commercial vehicles. They are operated on for business and also commercial activities. And lastly, about the measures to address the parking demand and the needs. Now, the current parking situations, we have a preliminary review of the overall situation in Hong Kong, and we find that the three districts have the biggest parking shortfall in terms of commercial vehicles. In general, they are Kwai Chung, Kwun Tong, and Harbour and the current cities, and all these districts are located next to the harbour. Next slide. And also we take stock of the STTs, the short-term tenancy sites, and from March last year, as we spell in paper. Up till now, we have closed down three STTs, terminating the operation of the three sites in 2015, releasing the land for development, and we lost about 300 parking spaces for coaches and GVs. And we also take stock of the current or existing STTs. And we can advise the Commission that we anticipate in the next 5 years there will be another 12 STT sites which will cease operation, and they all together have a accommodating capacity of 1,400 numbers, and this number is a big number. For coaches and the GVs. And all these sites, when we talk about these STTs. I'm referring to those STTs in the harbourfront areas. So altogether, that, meaning what? Meaning those areas in the next 5 years will be released for various uses, and they will no longer be used for parking alone. And members also last year also raised concern about the parking, especially in the harbourfront areas. And these are the some of the recent pictures that we took in the areas. And you can find that, in fact, it's quite often we find that illegal parked vehicles would cause the road blockage, blocking the sight line of road users. Sometimes they parked on footpaths illegally, and also causing congestion, and sometimes even they block the pedestrian crossings. And all these, as the department see it, is not just illegal activities resulting in congestion. We see it as problems affecting the road safety of the road users. Another picture also shows the drivers driving offense. They park their cars, coaches, illegally at the road junctions, and sometimes they deem the working environment, causing security issues at the residential districts, and sometimes they also block the bus stops, causing the double parking for franchise buses, and endangering the loading and unloading of passengers. So, next slide. And after taking stock of all these problems, we actually took up with the police. And in fact, the police recently announced the step 2016. Step refers to the selective traffic enforcement priorities, and they actually they target at those areas or those incidents, offences, which will result in potential accidents, which would result in safety problems, and will focused enforcement. And this operation has in fact launched, resulting in the launching of ticketing, and in fact the police, from the police in just for the first week of June, over 40,000 fixed penalty tickets were issued. And in fact, if we looked at the ticketing statistic over the past year, there were increasing numbers month by month. And the police has also, when they did the prosecution or enforcement, they actually depending on the situation, they would issue repeated tickets, and sometimes in the extreme case, they would tow away their the vehicles, resulting which result in endangering public safety or road safety. Next slide. And Transport Department has been in regular contact and liaison with the police, and on a quarterly basis, and on district wise, we have regular meetings and site inspections to make sure all the black spots which we found which will have adverse impacts on the road safety, we would urge the police to take actions. So these are the measures on the enforcement side. As far as the department, the Transport Department is concerned, we have also taken steps to impose some, we would call it NSR, the non-stopping restrictions, making sure for those areas which where we do not want any loading and unloading or parking of vehicles 24 hours or sometimes part-time, on a part-time daily basis. We make use of the yellow lines to impose the restriction. And also, we liaise with the tourism trade through the Tourism Commission to encourage the coach drivers to exercise discipline in terms of the loading and unloading activities of during their operation. Now, regarding the parking, we on the other side we also appreciate there would be a need for parking, loading and unloading for commercial vehicles, even in the harbour front areas. From what we understand from the trade and also from the locals, commercial vehicles like coaches and GVs play an important role in the various industries, including logistics and tourism. And it's also required for many sectors in the business. And currently, the number of coaches and GVs, goods vehicles, over the past 10 years is about 80,000. And this figure is roughly the same over the past 10 years. And unlike the private cars, which we saw a gradual increase of 4 to 5% on average every year. And for the goods vehicles or for the coaches, the numbers are basically the same. And as at end of last year, 2015, this number, 80,000, represent about 11% of the total car fleets in the territory. And very often we find that the locals, as well as the district council, they urge for more parking spaces for commercial vehicles because there are genuine need to run certain business in the commercial areas and also coaches in the tourist areas. I want to spend a few minutes in talk about our measures in the way ahead. We understand the need, and we also understand the problems associated with the parking, the setting, and the loading and unloading activities. And one of the measures that we are actively pursuing is we try to incorporate some additional parking spaces in developments in the harbourfront areas which are under planning. And these this table shows some of the recent examples in the harbourfront areas like Wan Chai Loft redevelopment, Kennedy Town, the ex-Loft Point Estate redevelopment, West Kowloon Cultural District. And all these have incorporated a certain number of parking spaces. And this number, I just want to add, this number are extra numbers in addition to the provision under the Hong Kong Planning Standard Guidelines. And the intention is to get these spaces open for public use, either on an hourly basis or on a monthly basis. And these are the recent examples. And as we stated in the paper, we would also continue to explore opportunities in other projects under planning, including the Sai Yi Street, the GIC site development in Mong Kok, and also in the Kowloon East area, where we feel that there would be some demand, because we know that, and we do not, and we try to avoid a situation where the coaches, after the daily activities, they just park illegally in the harbourfront areas, and we want to provide adequate spaces off street. So the general trend that we would like to develop is to, on one hand, we try to release the land from the STD sites, And on the other hand, we also want to find out more spaces, parking spaces, to accommodate those commercial vehicles, so that there will be a direction to taking away the coaches and also commercial vehicles to avoid unnecessary parking in the waterfront area, so that there would be this should be in line with the harbour planning principle to release the more land in the harbour front. And we are also actively looking for the nighttime parking, on-street nighttime parking for more spaces. And these spaces, we are talking about nighttime. When we talk about nighttime, because we know that the operation of the business is daytime, they would probably drive there on the roads. And we are also looking into some, we call it the dual parking type. Daytime for public, for private cars, and the nighttime for GVs, or vice versa. So we actually look for every opportunity for this sort of parking spaces, and we actually started the consultation with concerned district council, and so far we managed already to have 60 plus spaces already gone through all the consultation, and we are anticipating those spaces to be on board for nighttime parking very soon. And of course, we also need to take that when we do this next batch of parking spaces in the search, we will need to take account of the local factors, including the impact of the road safety and also the traffic flow, as well as the local views. And in the longer term, we would also embark on a parking policy review. And we want to take stock of the territory-wide situation, and also to examine what sorts of measures in terms of policy, which can be which will be necessary to address the long-term problem or the long-term issue. And we anticipate to commence the review in the financial year 2016-17, and overall priority. Will be given to considering the need for commercial vehicles apart from the private cars. So we will also during the review, we will also look into the any need for changes or improvement for updating the Hong Kong plan standard and guidelines. So in summary, the department will continue to monitor the parking situation for the commercial vehicles in the waterfront, and on the other hand, we would continue our efforts in finding and securing more parking facilities at suitable sites, preferably in the hinterland, without compromising the road safety and affecting other road users, with a view to enhance the enjoyment of the waterfront by the public. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm sure members will have comments. I think, store the questions if you can. A couple from me. You talked about a shortfall at the beginning. Perhaps you'd explain to members how much that shortfall is. Give us an idea of the challenge that you're dealing with. And then, could you just confirm how many sites, STT sites, there are on the waterfront which are being used for commercial vehicles and coach parking at the moment? I believe it's about 40, but perhaps you could kindly confirm. And I think you're saying that over time, 12 of those would be terminated. But perhaps you could confirm that in a minute. Let's take members' questions or comments, please. Members?
All right.
Can you take just record those, and we'll deal with all the questions at the same time. Thank you. Ivan, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm a bit disappointed with this paper, because it seems that this is an ongoing issue, and we don't see a reasonable solution so far. I mean, we've been told that there will be, in the coming 5 years, there will be a total of 1,400 sort of Cochin GV parking. And the proposal table to us right now is, you know, within the six projects that have been mentioned, there's only 180 parking space being provided, which is about 12 to 15%. So this issue, you know, the coach and the GV parking is daily necessity for the city. And this has been ongoing for such a long time. And so far, I heard the proposal to put it inside the development, to put it inside GIC site. And I would suggest TD to think about out of the box. For example, the Hong Kong Jockey Club is clever enough to put the car park under the playground of Hong Kong Football Association. The drainage department is clever enough to put the stormwater tank under the playground. So can we consider and try to solve this problem for Hong Kong in a more holistic approach? You know, finding site which is possible to help to solve this problem outside the private development and GIC. You know, right now the government is asking all the developer to put the car park underground if they want to get the exemption of the GFA. But you know, can this also be considered putting all this coach and GV parking under some of our open space park, and we still have, we still can enjoy our open space and park on top of it? So I think we need to really look at the issue in a more holistic approach, and we have to arrive a holistic solution quickly. Otherwise, it's just will drag on and on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Please, Becky.
Thank you, Chair. I think for our commission and at various task forces, we have actually come to a consensus that STT should have to phase out along the harbourfront area. So this is a very important premise for every discussion. So I think I also like to hear more responses, in particular in terms of the medium and long-term measures to address such parking needs of coaches and goods vehicles. I know this is a holistic issue, but I think the discussion and especially the measures should also focus specifically on the harbourfront areas as priority area to solve such problems so that the harbour planning principles could be enhanced. Thank you, Chair.
I agree. I think we're seen as the easy target, yes. Please.
Thank you, Chair. It seems that architects and engineers are thinking along the same lines. Actually, I think we do need a holistic approach to
multidiscipline.
Yeah, I very much like to see the Helsinki model to be adopted in Hong Kong. In Helsinki city centre, no above ground loading and unloading required allowed, and all the goods vehicles are underground, loading and unloading underground, and they make use of lifts, get the, all the goods up to the above ground. That is a very good model for Hong Kong. Although our underground is already quite congested, but sooner we do feasibility study along this line, the better.
Thank you. Paul, please.
Yeah. Does this mean that you will change the specifications for the tender for the Murray car park site, so that I know that in the building there will be 100 some car parking spaces, but will the tender specify that those headroom for those car parking spaces will have to accommodate trucks and coaches at night time and regular cars during the daytime? So I just want to better understand the immediacy of your initiatives, so whether that means that you are working hard on ongoing projects and making sure these will be changed, or whether we're just going to tender as proposed and discussed recently at the Town Planning Board, I believe it was last week Friday. My other question is really, from my district council work, I understand that trucks park in some areas because people sleep there. And in other areas, coaches park because people go to Ocean Park. And So the demand seems to be quite different for different reasons. These vehicles appear in different areas for different reasons. So, and I understand in North Point, it's cross-border. So we certainly have a demand for cross-border facilities. We're probably going to increase because we're going to get the Hong Kong to a Macau bridge. You've got the Liancheng crossing. We're going to have more cross-border. And then there is demand for local attractions where you have something going on the waterfront. And some of them, are permanent, like the waterfront doesn't move, and our Avenue Star is probably not going to move now. But others are maybe more variable, like the jewelry shops in Tokwa Wan. Maybe they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow because they're in a commercial building. So what I try to get to is, I try to have a better understanding of the demands you're talking about, because I see these numbers, 33, 25, 30, but I have no clue whether that is a lot, or that is little, or that deals with people that take the that want to park their coach or their goods vehicle because they sleep there, or they got to work there, or they visit it. I just don't understand any of these numbers on how relevant they are. And then specifically with coaches, I guess there are three things. One is the loading, unloading, get the people in and out of the bus. The other one is whether they wait. You know, as people go to Ocean Park, you drop them off at the gate, and then the bus goes somewhere else and waits, and then it picks it up later. And then there is the overnight parking. So there are three different types of demands. So can we have a better understanding of the different types of demands, the different vehicles for the different areas with real numbers, so that we can understand whether 33 makes sense, or is nothing, or is a lot? That is what I hope. If we can't get it today, Chairman, can we get that as phase two of this report?
No. Thank you. Any other points people want to raise? All right, would you like to respond, please? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I try to respond. I believe the shortfall issue to my colleague, Peter, who will talk more about the shortfall. But in general, I just want to make a few points. When we talk about the addressing the problem, we try to adopt multiple approaches, which means we are not talking about just incorporating additional parking space in a particular district or even in a particular project. We try to, because we understand that's not sufficient if you centralize all the parking space in one or two districts, because every district has its own characteristics. For some districts, there could be a higher shortfall on coaches. In some districts, there could be higher shortfalls in terms of the parking space for the GVs. So it differs district by district. And it's not, in our view, it's not just enough. If you have a big car park and centralized in like a Marie building or Middle Road, we need to understand clearly how the trade operates and the business operates. So identification of additional parking spaces within planned development is just one of the measures. And I also try to respond to one of the members in that we are not just looking at those projects on the slides. Those projects on the slide are the recent examples. We are actually pursuing with other projects, including underground space. CDD is undertaking the studies on underground space, and also the caverns. So basically, we try to explore opportunities in every possible projects along the pipelines, and these are the long term measures. The table just shown are just recent examples over the past year. And about the STD sites, in the waterfront areas, harbourfront areas, it's about 40 harbourfront sites. But I've also after we actually looked into where those sites are. Basically, more than half of those sites are in the Kwai Ching districts, adjoining the container port terminal. And basically, they are serving. Their locations are basically closely related to the operation, daily operation of the container port and the backup areas activities. So in that sense, if you look at the STA sites in the core harbour areas, basically the 12 STD sites, which to be terminated in the next 5 years, already comprise more than half of the current sites that we are talking about. So basically, these are the picture that that I'm trying to paint. And also about what Paul just mentioned about the mode of operation of the or how to deal with the demand. In fact, this is what we are trying to assess and try to look at and review in the coming study and the coming policy review, because we understand that without knowing the actual operation and the need of the trade, and it's difficult to just quote certain numbers and seemingly addressing the problem. So basically, these are the tasks that we will be embarking on. And Peter.
As regards to the difference or the shortfall of parking, shortfall in at various districts, is a very complicated issue indeed. Though it depends on a number of factors. For example, it depends on the trade itself, especially for the commercial vehicles complying the with the goods vehicles and also the coaches. We have to consider the logistic trades, and we have to consider the tourism trade. Now, all these trades have different origin and destinations characteristics. So what we are going to do is that we will not simply matching the fleet size and the difference between the fleet size and the existing parking stock, which is quite a large difference. What we would do is that we would also take in account of all the vehicles that will habitually crossing the border to the mainland, and also some vehicles that will work at the night time. Now, deducting these vehicles, that we will also make reference to the vehicles already parked in the STD sites now, and also some surveying data of the illegal parking hotspots. So simply put, that because of the complicated nature of the commercial vehicles, the shortfall varies from districts to districts, and it is very difficult to pinpoint a single shortfall in every district. And we will look at in more details in the coming parking policy review and in a more comprehensive way. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, yes.
Thank you, Chair, and also thanks for members' views. I just want to supplement a few points. First of all, we know the Harbouring Commission field, and also I trust that everyone will know there is a need for the parking need for the coaches and GVs. And I want to make a point very clear is that we just not solely rely on the measures that we just mentioned in the PowerPoint or in the paper to tackle the problem. What we mentioned here, as in the PowerPoint and the paper, we're talking about the parking policy review, which just the TD colleagues have just mentioned that they are looking into to get more detail or statistics on the actual the parking need or the demand, and also just like Paul said, maybe the mode of operation of the trade. And apart from the parking, the policy parking review, we also mentioned some measures just like the loading and unloading during the night time, and also the dual parking. I want to make it clear that these measures are only we can implement in a more easy way and take lesser time to do so. So they can be achievable in the very near future. And for the back key views that for the medium and long-term measures, actually, I appreciate that you will appreciate that quite many suggestions you have raised, just like the underground car park and in the previous meeting about the multi-story car parks. This kind of proposal, they not only involve the transport bureau and also the transport department, it involves other bureaus as well. So please rest assured that we actually are in an active dialogue with within the whole government to see how we can tackle this situation. But, you know, the measures need time to be further deliberated and discussed within the government. So, but we are actually doing something in order to tackle the situation in short term and also in the long and the medium and long term. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay. I'm going to draw a line here because this was intended to be an update. I think you got the message. I hope you've got the message, a sense of frustration. I mean, personally, I don't know, I can't think why you didn't start the policy review a number of years ago, why we're starting a policy review now. I mean, this problem has been with us for a long time. But anyway, we will want to be part of the policy review, so make sure you come and brief us from time to time on the progress of that review, and to the extent you want contributions on our views, come and see us, please. We're going to monitor the 12 projects. You put 12 on a map, and so told us we can have them back in 5 years. Within 5 years, we shall watch that, each one. And so remember, particularly when you come back to renew the STTs, and that you've told us you're not going to need them in the future. So, no, but seriously, this is an issue for us. In terms of public enjoyment, it does impair public enjoyment in a major way, having particularly commercial vehicles and coaches parked on the waterfront. We will tolerate, I think is the word, in the short term, because we know Hong Kong has a problem, but you have to solve that problem, and we'll help you short term, but I'm afraid we're not going to help you in the long term. All right? Thank you.